Yes, this is Riverside Connections with Martin Smith and Joe Sarrington Smith. Now, that was, of course, Marvin.
Yeah, and I heard it through the grapevine that that might just be the greatest Motown song ever.
Well, he was so important to Motown, wasn't he, Joe?
He was. Very important. Yeah.
Now, if we were starting a show with that, what would you be thinking already on the Connections front?
Well, I'd be thinking this is a Motown special.
Yeah,
you'd think that, but...
Well, you're wrong. But you're wrong. Right about it being a special.
It is a special.
Because we're very, very pleased and honoured to have with us on the show tonight Ursula Mohan and Christopher Saul. Now, they are... no, hold on.
Yeah, okay.
Hold on. Let's not get too excited. Now, Chris... can I call you Chris?
Oh, well, of course I can.
Chris wrote and directed this play that Ursula stars in, and it's Florence Flo Smith, Now and Then. And this is on at the Omnibus Theatre, which is in Clapham, of course, one of our new local theatres.
Yeah.
And this is on Sunday, the 23rd of June, and we welcome you to the show.
Thank you,
for coming. so, to kick off with, when people come to see this, what are they coming to see?
What are they coming to see? Well, it's all in the title, or perhaps it isn't, or it may be all in the flyer if they've read it. It's a bit of a mystery, to be honest, I suppose. And we've found that perhaps saying too much is not a good thing.
Oh.
They just take it from moment to moment.
Well, if you'd listened to Connections before, you know we always say too much, don't we, Joe?
Yeah,
well, I do.
Well, yeah.
I do. So who was Florence Smith?
Well, Florence Smith was my grandmother.
All right.
And?
Yes.
And, well, in 1969, I had to write something for the college I was going to, the Rose Bluford College.
Right.
And
now, that's a drama school, so you were studying to be...
Yeah, it was a teacher's course as well, and they wanted a bit of academic work, and I wasn't too good at that. So I had this idea, which turned out to be a rather good idea, of taking my new present from my parents, my 21st birthday present,
right,
a Danzette reel-to-reel tape recorder,
oh, brilliant,
down to my grandmother, because I knew she liked to talk about her life and times in London. So
right.
I said, you know, we used to call her Nanny. I said, Nanny, can I bring this tape recorder? We'll have a cup of tea and one of your sardine sandwiches and with some salad. And would you mind talking about your life and times in London? And I emphasise that it should be chronological.
Okay.
And
so where do we start chronologically?
Well, I said as far back as you can remember.
Yeah.
So, actually, she went back to the Boer War celebrations.
The Boer War?
Which her father...
Wow,
can
wow.
Can you imagine?
Which, it was 1901. I think it was 1901.
1901, but yeah, she was born...
She was born 1893, so she was about 7 or 8.
No, she was 5 or 6, she says.
She says she was five or six, but don't let's go into that.
Now,
that,
so
that,
we
that,
can
this
bring...
Is her, this is Flo's tale. I mean, right. That's what she said. Yeah.
Now, just so we can bring you in, Ursula, you play Flo, don't you?
I do, and to play Flo, I have to wear a wig,
yes,
and I very slightly change my voice.
Sorry, who just came in the room?
Oh, well, that's amazing.
Yes, because she was London, and she was older, and yes, so I changed my voice.
Very good.
But my usual voice is this.
And this is me. Now, what part of London are we talking about?
Well, we're talking about in between the Archway and Crouch End. That's North London, isn't it? She lived in a place called Ritchie House. Well, she lived in a number of places, but she ended up in Ritchie House, and that's where the recording took place, just off the Hazelwell Road, which is just off the Hornsey Lane. And she was at number 36.
Right. Now, who was on the throne in 1897, was it, did you say?
Or
1969.
Yeah. No. I know it was on the throne in 69,
yeah,
don't I?
But
no. Turn of the century.
Turn of the century. Well, Victoria, of course, she right. dies in 1901.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then it's Eddie after that, isn't it?
And then Edward after that. Yes.
Edward. Right. Okay. Now, you know, Connections here is all about the music, and the thing I, when I was reading up about this, I noticed you've got a fantastic soundtrack. Of course, you, which is evocative of the period as we go through the story, don't we? As we go through the century, actually. So what we're going to do is just have a bit of flavour of where we are at the beginning.
Roll out the barrel, we'll have a barrel of fun.
Yeah, this is Riverside Connections, and we have a special guest, Christopher Saul and Ursula Mohan. Ursula stars in the play Florence, Flo Smith, Now and Then at the Omnibus Theatre in Clapham. And so, Ursula, how did you become involved?
Well, interestingly enough, a friend, a mutual friend, suggested me to Chris, to Christopher, and Chris sent me the play, and I read it, and I read it straight through. I mean, normally you get sent plays, lots of plays. I'm a working actress, and you get sent plays, and often you break and go and have a cup of tea or something in between after about five pages, and after about one page if it's terrible. And with this, I just read it right through, and I thought it was absolutely fascinating, very funny, very sad, very moving, and very informative. And I just thought, I love this. I really love this. And so then I responded to Chris's email, and we arranged to meet. And he said, would I do a reading of it, a public reading of it? And I said, oh yeah, I'd love to. And we rehearsed it, and we did it, and it went very well.
So after reading it and doing it, what sort of a person did you think Florence was?
Oh, salt of the earth. I mean, a wonderful woman, actually. Like so many women who had lived through really hard times, hardships like we don't know at our ages now. We just can't imagine what it's like, really, not to have anything. And to struggle in the way that she did. She was living a lot of her life at a time when there was no NHS, there was no, you had to pay for the doctor to give birth, 2 guineas she had to pay to the doctor. And she says, I didn't know where this 2 guineas was going to come from. You know, and you think, well, yeah, and there she is, poor woman.
So 2 guineas sounds like a lot of money in those days.
Oh, it's a huge amount of money. I mean, we wouldn't go to the doctor. If we had a sniffle or a cold or needed to go to the doctor, if we had to pay, oh, I suppose 50 quid, we wouldn't go, would we? We'd go and get Panadol or whatever. But, I mean, she, you know, and she couldn't even afford Panadol.
When you're having a child, there's no going back, is there really?
You know.
So, Chris, when you first saw Ursula doing it, that must have been very weird, because you're sort of hearing your grandmother again.
I mean, what happened, that public reading, all the family gathered together to listen to this, and I witnessed you know, hard-hearted, hard-headed cousins crying.
Right.
It was an extraordinary event. So, you know, I was very aware of who was in the audience.
Yes.
And they were absolutely riveted because even though Ursula, in many ways, physically, doesn't resemble Flo, she's got her spirit. She has her soul, and she has her words. Right. And they really sort of resounded within the people in that church hall that we did it in.
Okay, well, a bit more music. Tell me about, well, I mean, we know you chose Marvin Gaye because that was a 1969 hit, and that's when sort of interviewed your grandmother, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And Roll Out the Barrel, that's an early 20th century song.
Yeah.
So The Boy I Love is up in the gallery. Where does that fit?
Well, I mean, the whole show, it was a mixture of hits from 1969, and actually they're very specific. I think you'll find that they're between sort of January and April, or the songs you're going to play, in terms of pop music.
Yeah.
And then you had the songs which were of the actual period, and then you have the soundscapes. We have a soundscape. Devised by Adam Morris, and that just conjures up the atmosphere of the period that she lived through.
Right. Well, let's hear a bit of this.
I'm a young girl and I've just come over from the country where they do amongst the boys. I've got me a lover, and since I've got a lover, I just don't care a fig. The boy I love is up in the gallery. The boy I love is looking now at me. There he is, can't you see, waving his handkerchief, as merry as a
Well, that was beautiful. That was Ursula singing along, because you actually sing that in...
I sing bits of it as part of her memories, you know. Like, you know how you do when you're remembering a song, and she sort of says, "The boy I love is up in the gallery." She sort of remembers it, gets almost embarrassed by remembering and singing out loud, you know.
And so tell us, who was the boy that she met?
Oh. Well, she was quite a lass, really. She was a pretty girl. And she did say that she had quite a few boys that she went out with, but
right.
Nothing serious. But the boy that she did fall in love with was Wilfred.
Right. Wilfred. And how did they meet? Without giving too much away.
Well, she was in Hampstead with her friend Edith.
Right.
And then they saw these two fellows who were delivery men for Bowman's, the big furniture firm. And they said something cheeky. And, of course, I retaliated. And the next thing I knew, I was up the back of their car, keeping outside in case anyone saw us.
But may I say, you know, just before Wilfred, of course, and you're right, aren't you?
Yeah,
she does demonstrate that, and she talks about the times with other boyfriends, going to the music hall.
Yeah.
But of course, there is this one strong male influence in her life before all that, and that's her father.
All right. Oh.
And I think that's very important because he figures pretty dominantly, doesn't he, throughout.
My father was dragging me down to the Boer War celebrations when I was about 5 or 6, and I fell into a muddy puddle with my best pink suit on. He flatly refused to walk with me and marched ahead as if he didn't own me. I hated my father. So happy.
Right, well, there we are, her talking about her father.
Yeah.
Hating him.
Well, he was quite harsh and cold towards her, and I don't want to give too much of the story away, but one of the reasons was that her birth wasn't at a very convenient time in his life.
Right.
And I think he took it out on her. And she was kind... I mean, she was forthright, and he didn't like that. He didn't want that, you know. Right. He wanted to have her under his thumb, and she wasn't going to do it, you know. She had spirit. So
we're going to have a bit more music, and... we're going to play one of my favourite songs from the era.
Oh, yeah. What's that?
Well, it's Daisy Daisy, isn't it? Yeah.
Daisy, Daisy.
That's obviously The Wedding March by Mendelssohn. That's part of your soundscape because I'm assuming Flo gets married.
She does, but after a very, very long engagement. And I'm not going to give you the reasons why. You've got to come and see the play.
Okay.
I mean, yeah, a long engagement. And she finally got married in 1916, 2 years after the war had started and when the Irish Revolution was on.
And was Wilfred in the war?
Yes, yes. He was in the 2nd 19th London Regiment. And they had their drill hall in Camden Town. And, yes, Flo tried to get a place nearby the drill hall so they could be together, but it didn't work out. Lots of reasons for you to come and see the play.
As we've arrived at the First World War, I'm very interested to know about what Flo's experiences were during the First World War.
Well, she worked in a munitions factory.
Right.
And she had to make aeroplane wings.
I see.
And she was in a factory where they had all the windows shut, and there were all the glue that was being boiled for these wings. Mm. It was poisonous.
Yeah.
And it was really dangerous, you know. And anyway, the foreman of the factory kept... he was really alarmed because he sent out every Friday loads of wings because everybody wanted planes so badly, and every Monday they used to send the wings back because they weren't safe.
Yeah,
they had to be, everything was made so quickly. People were desperate to do things quickly.
Yeah,
and so during the war she worked in a factory. And she got pregnant and everything, lots of things. But unfortunately Wilfred had to go away.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah.
Well, I think we need this.
Up to mighty London came an Irishman one day. As the streets are paved with gold, sure everyone was gay, singing songs of Piccadilly, Strand and Leicester Square. Till Paddy got excited, then he shouted to them there, it's a long way to Tipperary, it's a long way to go. It's a long way to Tipperary, to the sweetest girl I know. Goodbye, Piccadilly.
Farewell, Leicester Square.
It's a long, long way to Tipperary, but my heart's right there.
Marvellous. Marvellous. Very relevant today, I think.
Yes, absolutely. 75th anniversary of D-Day landings.
Indeed.
Today.
But Tipperary, is it a long way to Tipperary? I mean...
Yeah, I tried walking there once.
It's a long way.
Yeah, it is a long way. Yeah. Yeah.
Did you?
Well done.
Yeah.
If only.
Yeah. Yes. Is it farther than Timbuktu?
Yes. Yeah. I'm sure it is. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Now, we come snap up to date in the soundtrack, don't we? Because the end of the first half, as it were, we go back to 1969 and Peter Sarstedt.
Yeah, well, the 1969 song sort of reflects part of Flo's mood at any particular time during the tale that she's telling, the many tales she tells. So, you know, the first one, the Marvin Gaye, you know, I'm about to tell tales now. And as it's difficult to say without giving things away, but of course Wilfred does come back from the First World War, but under certain circumstances. And I think this song in many ways reflects Flo's mood as she lives the many years after the First World War with her husband and her three very young children.
Thank you for that.
You talk like Marlene Dietrich, and you dance like ZZ Jobber, and your clothes, well, they're all made by Balmain, and there's diamonds and pearls in your hair, oh yes there are. And you live in a fancy apartment off the boulevard Saint-Michel, where you keep your Rolling Stones records and a friend of Sacha Distel, oh yes you do. And you go to the embassy parties, oh, where you talk in Russian and Greek. Oh, and the young men who move in your circle, oh, they hang on every word you speak, oh yes they do. But tell me, where do you go to, my lovely, when you're alone in your bed? Oh, won't you tell me the thoughts that surround you? I want to look inside your head, yes I do. Well, I've seen all your qualifications you got from the Sorbonne, and the painting that you stole from Picasso. Your loveliness goes on and on, oh yes it does. And when you go on that when summer we vacation,
we could see
you go
to Juana
with your carefully designed topless swimsuit. You get an even suntan on your back and on your legs. And when the snow falls, you're found in Samoritz with the others of the jet set. Oh, and you sip your Napoleon brandy, and you never get your lips wet, I know you don't. But tell me, where do you go to, my lovely, when you're alone in your bed? Oh, won't you tell me the thoughts that surround you? I want to look
inside your head, yes I do.
This is Riverside.
Well, welcome back to Connections, Martin Smith and Joe Sarrington Smith, and our special guests, Sula Mohan and Christopher Saul. We're talking about Florence Flo Smith Now and Then at the Omnibus Theatre on Sunday, the 23rd of June, 7:30. There we go with Albatross, Fleetwood Mac, and again, 69. We're into the second half of the show. Are we not?
Oh, yeah, we certainly are. And again, you know, atmospheric music, which just happened to be a hit at that particular time when she was telling me that story. And it seemed just totally appropriate. Now, something major happens here. You might be able to guess what, but come and see the show and to confirm it.
I can't guess. I've got to come and see the show.
I know, yes, yeah. But suspense.
Joe, what do you think happens?
What do I think happens? I think she starts a revolution.
Really?
Yeah, and I think that's what happens. Yeah.
Well,
I mean, it was 1969 after all. You know, the feeling was in the air then. You know.
Well, yeah. Let's hear another little bit of Ursula.
We're up on Parliament Hill, having a kiss and a cuddle. But I'll have you know, I always kept all my clothes on because by the time you took them off, corsets and the like, you'd lost your order. When we looked out of the window, we could see that the Zeppelin was right over us, high up and as long as the street. We were terrified. Then it started travelling towards the city and began dropping its bombs. I had my son, Fred, with the Elizabeth Garrett Anderson Nurses Home people. They came to your home for only 10 shillings, whereas the doctor demanded 2 guineas. I was worried to death, as I didn't know where this 2 guineas was going to come from. So I strolled down to the Euston Road. The midwives looked at me in amazement because I was in my 8th month. I told them about the doctor and his fee, and they said to me, "Let him wait for it."
Don't know why there's no sun up in the sky, stormy weather since my man and I ain't together. Keeps raining all the time. Life is bare, gloom and misery everywhere. Stormy weather, just can't get my poor self together.
Now, stormy weather, I'm assuming because of the Second World War. And had she had her children by then?
Yes, yes. And the children were grown up in the Second World War. And both her sons joined the army and the Navy. And so they were.
So we're talking about your dad and your uncle.
Yes, Fred, my father, and Uncle Bill. But don't let's forget Dorothy, my Auntie Dorothy, who is in fact 100 on Saturday.
You're kidding me.
In fact, tomorrow she's 100.
Whoa!
What an extraordinary milestone.
Yes. But she was very involved in the war effort, wasn't she, Ursula?
Yeah. Yes, she was a civil defence warden, and her husband, Wally, he was also a civil defence warden. They worked really hard with some terrible bombings during the Blitz, particularly. You know, he did some pretty awful things, had to deal with some pretty awful things. It's quite extraordinary that Flo's daughter is actually 100, and I met her.
Wow!
That was a wonderful experience.
And it sort of epitomises the strength in that family.
Yeah.
Wasn't there? And of course, we've missed out an enormous chunk, naturally. But in the play, you see the conversion of Flo from a woman who had a husband and is bringing up children. Suddenly, she's faced with a new life and how to deal with it without benefits, you know, without any state support. And that's a very interesting period of the story, isn't it?
It is. I mean, she had to get a job, and she's a cleaner at the Whittington Hospital, on her knees, scrubbing floors. Mm-hmm. And really, really working hard from 6:45 in the morning till 7:15 at night. And, you know, when she started, she got 0.10 an hour. Do you believe that? And she then moved up to St Mary's Hospital, where she got £2.15 a week, which was marvellous. I thought it was like man's money.
Now, and without again giving too much away, of course, we're assuming that she's on her own now with three children and struggling, and that. Was there never any thought of marrying again?
I don't think there was.
Well, I think she said she had her offers. You know, there was lots of, but I know what they wanted.
I do remember her talking about that. I mean, it's obviously in the original story, but she felt that she could cope by herself. Yeah,
she didn't want to cook and clean for somebody else. You know, she had enough to do, I think.
She knew what they wanted.
She knew what they wanted.
I guess if you're in love with somebody and they're taken early, you know, it's still all there, isn't it? Because
yes, well, as
you've not had your proper time.
Yeah, and you sort of realise that as the time has gone on, as you yourself have grown older, this story that was told when you were only, you know, 21, it has more meaning.
Yes,
as one gets older.
It was the love of her life, you know.
He was handsome.
And he was lovely. Yeah, and he was a good man.
Yes.
I'm quite curious to know, as the years went on, and even when you did the interview in 1969, what Flo's, I'm curious to know what she made of the world at that time, obviously having... Because obviously there's been a lot of change since from 1969 to now, but from about 1893 to 1969, I'm just curious to know, you know, the modernisation.
She was very on everything, and she knew what was going on, and she was always a Labour voter. You know, she wasn't particularly keen on the present government, which was Harold Wilson and that lot, she calls them, but she wouldn't. She'd always vote Labour. She was always she was a working class woman, and that was what she did. And she was, you know, keen on things like ban the bomb, you know, and she was on it, you know. I mean, she knew what was going on. She was no fool.
And she was very critical. She had a television, but she was most of the time very critical about what was on it.
Shouting at the television.
Oh, I know about that.
Yes, yeah.
I mean, you know, Love Island started.
Oh, yeah. I have my Mary Whitehouse moments as well.
I've got a pile of bricks.
Oh, yeah. Switched it off.
Yeah. Goodness gracious. Yeah. This next track, "A Lover Man," is Billie Holiday. That by Stormy Weather was Lena Horne, by the way, wasn't it? And this Billie Holiday track, "Lover Man," where does that fit into the scheme of things?
Well, my father, Frederick, he was in the Navy, but he went to Skegness and to Butlins in Skegness, which they'd converted into something called the HMS Arthur, where they trained.
HMS Royal Arthur.
Royal Arthur, forgive me.
Get it, yes, right, Chris.
He was on minesweepers, by the way. Yeah.
He was on your sweepers?
He's on the minesweepers. But that's where he met my mother, Joyce. So one presumes that there was a bit of the lover boy in him as he sort of had a break from Butlins and went down to Skegness. Met her at the clock tower or something like that. That's pure speculation. Mother never confirmed it.
But I'm feeling so sad. I long to try something I've never had. Never had no kissing. Oh, what I've been missing. Love a man, oh, where can you be? The night is cold and I'm so all alone. I'd give my soul just to call you my own. Got a moon above me, but no one to love me. Love a man, oh, where can you be? Heard it said that the thrill of romance can be like a heavenly dream. I go to bed with a prayer that you'll make love to me. Strange as it seems, someday we'll meet, and you'll dry all my tears, then whisper sweet little things in my ear, hugging and a kissing. Oh, what we've been missing. Love a man, oh, where can you be?
This is Riverside.
That was Billie Holiday and "Lover Man." Tell me, where can you be? Now we're still in the Second World War, and Fred's on the minesweepers. What happens next?
Well, Joyce, I think, in Skegness, feels a bit out of it and wants to come to London. Yeah. She wants to experience being bombed.
I know. And she actually...
Things in Skegness must have been pretty dull.
But I suppose she must have thought she wanted the excitement of what was going on in London. I don't know. But Flo says that I wrote to her and I told her it was rather foolhardy, but she still came. And when she came to London, she would share a bed with Flo because nobody had spare beds and sofas to sleep on them. When the bombs came over, the doodle bugs that would suddenly cut out, and
that
horrible.
Must have been terrifying.
So you'd have the noise and then they'd cut out and you had no idea where they were going to land, and you didn't know if they were going to land on your head or down the road or whatever. And so you'd hear the bomb coming and then the cold few seconds while you waited to hear the bang. Mm. And apparently Joyce never said a word. She was frozen stiff with fear.
Wow.
And Flo said to her, I asked her if she was all right, but she never answered because I suppose she was too scared to say anything. You know, yeah. So she probably hot-footed back to Skegness as quickly as she could.
Yeah, they didn't enjoy the Blitz experience. No.
And ironically, when... Fred and her got married. It was the 4th of November, isn't it, 1945, which apparently was the day the last rocket
The day
over.
Before the last rocket. The last rocket came over on the 5th, the 5th. Of November.
Remember.
Yeah. I mean, that's unbelievable. Yeah. And it did some really nasty damage around where Flo lived. Mm. Really nasty stuff.
Sadly, didn't hit the House of Commons.
No.
Could have, you know, sorted it all out.
It could have done. Yeah, yeah.
That's Brexit for you.
Yeah.
Right, now... We are loving this joke.
Yes.
We cut. Right. Sadly, we need about 3 hours, but we've got another 10 minutes.
Yeah.
So we're going to have to jump a little.
Okay.
And I'm absolutely gobsmacked on the choice of this next track. I think needs a little explanation, because I'm just about to play the Sex Pistols. Why am I playing the Sex Pistols?
Well, this is the odd man out. It's been pointed out as well. And, you know, if there was a competition, you know, listeners could phone in and say, oi, what's this about? You know, it was nowhere near 1969. And okay, all right. But it conjures up that change that went on from round about, you know, 69, that was, you know, the 67, 68, you know, the period of love. And then we went in to this 70s period, in which...
punk in your face.
Which then there was something that Flo perhaps couldn't understand.
Yeah.
And was sort of very much against everything she knew.
Yes. Of course, so, Joe at the beginning.
And I like the song, by the way. I like it. I mean,
it's a great song.
It's a great song. Because in the 70s, we didn't start with punk, did we? We had to.
Well, it was glam, wasn't there?
Glam. David.
David Bowie.
Yeah. We had David Bowie, Off behind the tuppenny rise. Off behind the treacle. Anyway.
Yeah.
Sorry. Well, sorry, we thought we were back in an Ordinary Connection show, but we're not.
Yeah, that's right.
Because we're talking to Christopher Saul, and we're talking to Ursula Mohan about Florence Flo Smith Now and Then at the Omnibus Theatre on the 23rd of June. And, okay, well, to represent change, here's a bit of John. Yes, back on Riverside, serving Southwest London. Now, we're talking about Florence Smith, and that was the Sex Pistols, and something I suspect Flo would not have been listening to. She lived an extraordinary life, didn't she, through all these wars. Well, she was taken to see the celebration of the end of the Boer War, the First World War, the Second World War, as you said, the Vietnam War. Was she, What was her view on the likelihood of peace in our time, as it were?
I think, I mean, she was scared about the possibility of the Third World War. I mean, because at the time that she was talking, Vietnam was happening. And, you know, and there was Vietnam all over the, you know, on the television and everything. And, yeah, but I think she felt that the present day, that everything was too laid on for everybody. And people didn't, they had benefits and everything. Excuse me. And even though she thought it was, she didn't want the old days back again, she thought that our life, she says, our life formed more character in us and more initiative than what these easy days do. And, you know, she felt you don't want to be completely without worry. And that, and that's one of the most extraordinary things to say. But she felt that her generation stood up and worked hard. Yeah. And this next generation were laying back and taking the benefits and getting... was a nanny state, in a way.
Mm. A nanny state?
Nanny state.
Appropriate.
Nanny state. Yeah. Yeah. Which is kind of where we've arrived now, yes, in some ways, yeah, isn't,
yes,
it? Yeah. And even today, I'm sure there are a lot of people who are still worrying about the possibility of World War III.
I know. Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, I mean, she certainly thought that... She said if somebody was trigger happy enough, they could set this nuclear bomb off and there wouldn't be much left after, would there?
Now, that sounds... That's prophetic, isn't it, really?
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
And the CND movement was pretty
very
big at that
strong.
Time. Very strong.
Yeah. And but she was quite political as well, because she said she would always vote because she wouldn't betray the suffragettes.
Right.
You know, and so, yeah, I mean... That kind of backbone in a woman is phenomenal. This cleaner from North London who'd been through so much hardship. She was so intelligent and so full of heart and full of courage. I think admirable.
Yes.
I love her dearly, actually.
And did she carry on working, or did she retire? I mean, did she have
retired
any...
retired at 65.
Right.
Because you had to. You know,
right.
But she says that she could do the job standing on her head now,
because
right. She said the floors and corridors we scrubbed were stone. Now they're all rubberized. Now we weren't allowed to get on our knees, whereas they weren't allowed to get. They're not allowed to get on their knees, whereas we weren't allowed to get off ours.
Oh,
so she's, you know, she's wild.
And what about her relationship with her kids later in life? Were they close?
Well, in the play, I've tried to illustrate the closeness that she has or had with Bill, eldest, and it was a relationship that was a bit prickly. Of course, he cared very much about her. He loved his mum. And, of course, geographically, he was much closer than my father, Fred, who ended up in Skegness with my mother, Joyce. There are sequences where the phone rings and it's Bill, 5 o'clock, checking on Florence Flo Smith. And she gets pretty irritated
cross,
about
yes.
this.
Oh, hello, Bill. What do you want? Yes, yes, I'm fine. Yes, I told you, I'm fine. She hangs up. She's
well, now it just sounds amazing, and I know that it's flown past this hour, and we haven't really, we've only scratched the surface, haven't we?
Flown
we really
past. I see what you did flown, there, Martin. Yeah,
flown past.
Yeah.
So, anyway, I hope you get a chance to tell us more about it. And I think I'm right in saying that you may be making an appearance on Barclays Brunch,
yes,
Ursula, to tell us more about this. So
yes.
That's fantastic.
Thank you.
But in the meantime, it's Florence Flo Smith Now and Then at the Omnibus Theatre. That's Sunday, the 23rd of June at 7:30. Get your tickets now, www.omnibus-clapham.org. Now, I think we've only got a minute to play out, but so I think we should, I think as an uplifting thing, play Paradise. It's half as nice as Heaven That You Take Me To. Who needs paradise? I'd rather have you. So thanks for coming in.
Yes,
it's been a pleasure.
Thanks. It's been really good.
And thanks for listening to Connections. And sorry about the technical glitches. But
well,
it,
would be
it wouldn't be the same.
Yeah, it wouldn't be the same.
It wouldn't be the same. And see you next week.
Yeah,
okay.
See you next week.
Good night.
Good night.